Okay, good evening, everybody. So let's learn Torah again now as we begin a new Zman of From the Rabbi's Desk Shiurim. So the plan is every Thursday night, Bezras Hashem, at 7:30 p.m. from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, we'll be doing these Shiurim. And again, same format. So I'll pose two questions, maybe three. You let me know which one you want to talk about or which one you want to talk about first, and we'll go from there. So these are all shailas that I was asked or that were mentioned to me in the last week or so. So first, I got a frantic call from a Talmid last week, this week actually, as his wife was in labor. He was in the hospital, his wife was in labor, and he informed me that in the labor and delivery area of the hospital, there were so many deliveries, Baruch Hashem, going on at that time that they were running low on nurses. So they asked him if he wouldn't mind holding one of his wife's legs so that they can do the delivery. So he wanted to know, considering one's nida status during the delivery, is he allowed to hold his wife's leg so that she could deliver their first child? So that doesn't, on the first one especially, that's got to be a little nerve-wracking. But his first thought was, from the rabbi's desk. This is great. So he figured he would ask the shaila and with full permission to use it. So that was shaila number one. Shaila number two. A fellow came over to me in shul over Yantif, and he told me that he had two cousins who have the same name. They're both named after the same Elter Zaidi or something. So two cousins who have the same name in the same generation as each other, and they were getting married 2 weeks apart from each other in Lakewood. And the first cousin got married, and when he got married, he obviously did the whole Harei HaMekdesh Li B'Tavaso Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. The Mesar Kedushin asked, to Edim, does the ring look like it's worth a Shevar Pruta? Yes, it does. Did you buy this ring with your own money? Yes, I did. The whole thing that you normally do at a Kiddushin. And the Chassan did the Kiddushin. The Kala stuck out her right index finger. Everything was mamish done. Kedasu Kedin. It's just that right after the wedding, the Kala just informed the husband that the jeweler must have gotten the sizing wrong because the ring is too tight for her. The ring was too tight on her finger. So the next day they called the jeweler and he said, okay, I'm sorry, I normally don't make a mistake like that. I'm happy to stretch the ring for her to make it more comfortable or to maybe exchange, whatever, but no problem. And he apologized for the mistake, fine. Then 2 weeks later, the second wedding, the other cousin's wedding, also everything goes off without a hitch, everything is fine. But after the wedding, the Kala tells the Chassan, this ring is too loose on me. The jeweler must have gotten the sizing wrong. The ring doesn't fit properly. It's too loose. And they called the jeweler, and he immediately realized what had happened. Apparently, the family used the same jeweler, and they both have the same name. The Chassanim were buying the ring. Both Chassanim had the same name. So when the person came to pick up the ring for Joe Schmo, so he had Joe Schmo written down, and he gave the wrong ring to the wrong cousin. So now the question is, do they have two people who are still single, two couples who are not really couples, and do they have to do another kiddushin? And more than that, let's say the second couple discovers this right before they're headed out to a shevar brachos that night. So can they say the shevar brachos, brachos vatala, if they're not really married? What do they do, mamish, right then in that? What if they discover this on Shabbos? Can you do a kiddushin on Shabbos? So this was a Maisa Shahaya Kachoya. The guy tells me, I don't know the people who it happened to, just a cousin of theirs who tells me this is the Maisa that happened, and he would love to know what the Mahalich would be. So those are two Shailas. Do we want to try a third, or we're okay with these two? We'll stick with these two. Okay, so again, Shaila number... we already have a vote for number two. So again, just for those who came in like a few seconds late, Shaila number one was a guy whose wife was in labor, and they ran out of nurses to help out, and they asked him if he wouldn't mind holding one of his wife's legs so that she can deliver the baby. So Shaila is, what does he do in that situation? Is he allowed to do that? And then Shaila number two is a Shaila with the two rings. So if everyone could just vote in the chat over here, which Shaila you prefer to discuss, number one and number two. So far, okay, two, two, one. Ooh. Okay, is it going to get a closer vote, or are we... That's it? Okay. Not so many people voted. Okay. All right. So, oh, okay. So, all right. So it looks like two wins somewhat overwhelmingly. So let's discuss Shaila number two. What's interesting about Shaila number two is, you know, things like this, I mean, not necessarily this, but things like this happen, you know, from time to time. And therefore, you do find in Poskim where they discuss similar types of issues. There's one Shaila in Tshuvas Minchas Asher in Chelek Beis, where Rav Asher Weiss has in Siman Pei, where he discusses a Maisa Shahaya in Lakewood, New Jersey. And Rav Asher describes, B'masha Shenishalti Midayana Ir Hatora Lakewood. B'maisa Shahaya B'chasen B'yom Chupaso Shehivkir Es Tabasa Kiddushin Shakana Mikaspo Eitzel Achoso. That Al-Chasen trusted his sister to watch over the ring, right? You never want the Chasen to be the one in charge of the ring because he has so much going on and he's likely to forget it. So he responsibly put his sister in charge of taking care of the ring. Al-Manas Shehititin Lo Sedabas Lefnei Maimin HaChupa. Then she would give him the ring right before the Chupa. Bitaus hichlifa ha'achos es ha'tabas shekona ha'chason b'tabas shelah. And then the sister, how does she watch over a ring? You ask a woman to keep a guard of a ring. So what's she going to do? She sticks it on her finger, and that's how she's gonna watch over the ring. So when the chassan went and asked for the ring, she took a ring off her finger and gave the ring to the chassan. But which ring did she give to the chassan? She gave her own ring to the chassan instead of the ring that she should have given. And therefore, the chassan did the ma'isa kiddushin with the tabas that belongs to his sister, and not with the ring that he actually bought. And when did they discover this? Shabbos Sheva Brachos, Friday night, they discover it. When they're looking carefully at the rings, I thought, you know, the wonderful Kala is telling the Chassan, you know, I appreciate so much, the ring is beautiful, but it's not exactly what we picked out, you know, it's a little bit different. And then they discover at their Friday night meal. So, Echad HaChachamim Pasak, since the kiddushin is not valid, you need to do a new kiddushin. Wow! One of the chacham there in Lakewood said that since you can't do kiddushin on Shabbos, you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos, so they have to separate from each other, and they're not allowed to have yichud with each other, even though they already had bia. It doesn't matter if you had bia or not. If a woman were to become a nida before there was a ma'isa bia, so then you'd have a yichud shayla as far as that. But over here, they're not even married, so of course it's an isur yichud, and they have to separate from each other for the rest of Shabbos. And the dayanim questioned whether they're even allowed to say Shavar Brachos. They said probably they're not allowed to say the Shavar Brachos over the course of Shabbos, even though they invited all these people to come together for a Shavar Brachos. So Rav Asher concludes the Shaila by saying, Ulamoser lahazbir ad kama nafsha maisa aguma alehem ala mechshala shetachas yadam val boshas haponim shenigrim alehem v'shala l'dayti bilchsada. So he said, it goes without saying how embarrassing this is, how terribly embarrassing and agonizing this situation is, but they asked me for my opinion, Rav Asher said, and therefore I'm writing a tshuva. So what are the tzadim lahak? I mean, Pashtos is, if you used a ring that belonged to your first, I think in this case it was the second cousin of the same name, and he used a ring that belonged to you to be Mekadesh Nisha, Pashtos is it should not work. They should not be married at all. Is there anything, see, in this case, there's no question you're going to have them do another Maisa Kedushin, right? Meaning, what do you have to lose? You have them do another Maisa Kedushin. But yeah, meaning that, what does Henry write over here? That it's not comparable? As in the case of the store owner, he took ownership and gave the person an exchange of the ring. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, when it comes to doing another Maisa Kedushin, so from time to time, we'll have that. I remember one of these from the rabbi's desk shiurim, I mentioned that a first cousin's husband is a pasula aid, that's too close of a relative to be a kashra aid. So I got a phone call from someone that week saying, you know, I was just listening to Shiron Wayu Torah, and you mentioned that a first cousin's husband is not a kashra aid. When I got married, I asked my Masada Kiddushin if my first cousin's husband could be an aid Kiddushin, and he said yes, and therefore he was. my first cousin's husband was Nate Kiddushin, and now my wife and three children, are curious as to whether we're really married, and like, what does this mean for us? And by the way, he wasn't just an aide kiddushin; he was an aide on the ksuba as well. So that became very, and it was like 10 o'clock at night that he called me. The fellow lived in Canada, and like I immediately had to, get into contact with Rav Schechter of Willig, figure out what to do, and with the Rav in there, because they clearly have to write another ksuba right away also. So one of the things Rav Schechter said, do another Maisa Kiddushin. I mean, Rav Willig had a bunch of questions about who else was there. Were there other Edim that were present, that were kosher Edim? Who in the world the Masari Kiddushin is, and maybe someone should speak to him and tell him not to be Masari Kiddushin anymore, because talk about not being Yodea Bativ Gittin V'Kiddushin. Like, I didn't know that first cousin's husband, that's a major problem. So Lemaisa, the guy, the Masari Kiddushin, was like an accountant or something who was just moonlighting as a rabbi or something like that. So, he wasn't likely to be doing any more Kiddushin, so it didn't seem to be, it didn't seem to be worthwhile to bother him with it, or to embarrass him about it, because he wasn't in the business anymore. But Rav Schechter said that they should get two Edim to their house right away. He should, the chassan, the husband, chassan, he's married for 15 years. He should take an apple out of the refrigerator, and he should say in front of two Edim, Hareya Mekudeshes Li B'Tapuach Zu Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, and they should do a new Maisa Kiddushin. I said, Rebbe, why dafka an apple? It's like what's the kunz of an apple? I said, why not just a piece of jewelry or something? Why not? Because the guy said, my wife is excited about maybe getting a new getting an upgrade, because if we have to get married again. So I said, you mean the woman you think is your wife? I didn't say that. That would make him upset. But so Rav Schechter said, people will get very upset if you you have to make it somewhat, even though it's a serious thing, you want to keep the atmosphere somewhat loose, because otherwise the person is going to be very, very anxious and very, very upset. So it feels a little funnier if you use an apple. So he thought that's what they should do in that case. So sometimes you have to do a Maisa Kiddushin again later. So l'chora, in this case, you're going to have to do a Maisa Kiddushin. So really our question is not so much about what to do. You're going to do another Maisa Kiddushin, but the question is going to be more about, is there any way to make them feel better about this? Meaning, you're going to tell them, oh, by the way, we're doing another Maisa Kiddushin because the last 2 weeks that you thought you were married, which means including Bia Rishona and all the Yichud that you've had, was all really Be'isr, was all really, you really weren't married at all. So are there any studim to suggest that they might be married? The other reason why it's important to know whether they might be married is, do you make a bracha? Meaning, you're going to do another Maisa Kiddushin. Do you say a Birchas Erusin? So if you're confident 100% that they're not married, then yes, you would say a bracha. But if you're not so sure and you think that there are strong possibilities that they might be married, then you wouldn't say a bracha. You would do another Maisa Kiddushin, but without a Birchas Erusin. So what are the tzadim? So Rav Asher has a number of tzadim, some of which apply to our case as well, some of which do not. The first tzad l'hakel is that maybe the guy actually does own the ring. How could you say that? Clearly the whole thing was a mistake. He wasn't supposed to have this ring. So in order for a kinyan to work, you need two things. You need a das makna and a das kona. You need the das of the person who's giving the item to intend to actually give it, and you need the das of the person who's receiving the item to intend to actually receive the item. That's the only way a kiddushin is going to work. So Rav Asher argued that maybe in this case, even though you didn't really have either of those things, maybe it works anyway. Why? Because there's an asivus in Simon Kuf Tzadi Zayin, Sivkat and Dalid, who explains a shach in Simon Shunun Ches, Sivkat and Aleph, that if there's an anan sahadi, if we can be absolutely certain that you want somebody to be kona your possessions, then you don't require a hakna'a mifresh. So you don't need to explicitly be makna to them if we know that you want them to be kona that item. Furthermore, the Ketzos in Simon Reish Sivkat and Aleph says that an anan sahadi works even for mechiras chamet, because we know the guy doesn't want to violate Bal Yirah. So certainly in Rav Asher's case, if the sister had known that the brother wants to use whatever ring she's giving him right now for Kiddushin, and she does know that, she knows that he wants to use it, so of course she would be makne itim. So it's an anan sahadi that given that circumstance, she wants him to be the owner of the ring. So maybe you could say the same thing over here, that the owner of the jewelry store, he knows that he's going to have an unsatisfied customer if the customer has the wrong ring, but he'll have an even more unsatisfied customer if the customer is not married. So given that he knows that this person wants to use this ring for a Maisa Kiddushin, he clearly would want to be makne whatever he's giving it to him, bakna gemura. So that's as far as the das makne. What about the kone? What about the chassan who's actually acquiring the ring? So Rav Asher suggests, even though the chassan never intended to acquire this particular ring, yado shel adam is kone lo shel midaito. That just like we have a principle in Bamitzia Davyut, that chatzer shel adam is kone lo shel midaito, that a person's chatzer can be kone on his behalf, even without his knowledge or intention for it, so too a person's own yad can be kone shel midaito. So it's true that if you realize that you have an item in your hand and you still don't intend to acquire it, then there is no kinyan. Yeah, but that's talking about a case where if it's, you know that an item is hefker and you don't have intention to acquire it, that's like das not to be kona. But if in these cases, you clearly would want to be kona, and therefore the fact that it's in your hand, you don't have any negative das, you're not having das not to be kona it, so the fact that it's biyado may be enough for it to be a kinyan. That is sniff lahakel number one. That maybe if we rely on these two svaros, even though they're both a great chiddush, that maybe there was a kinyan. Sniff lahakel number two. Maybe the Mesiras HaKsuba works as Kiddushin. Maybe the fact that the Chassan gives the Kaluksub, how are you Mekadesh Nisha? So the three ways to be Mekadesh Nisha, the first Mishnah Maseches Kiddushin, with Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So Kesef we just went through. So maybe it is Kiddushin Kesef, because maybe he actually did own the ring. Even if it's not Kiddush HaKesef, maybe there's Kiddush HaShtar over here. Now, Kiddush HaShtar does not mean Ksuba. Kiddush HaShtar means you give a Shtar that says, Harei HaMakadesh Asli B'Shtar Zu Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. That's what Kiddush HaShtar typically means. However, there is a comment that the Orchos Chaim has in Hilchos Ksubas where he says that the way a Masari Kiddushin should run a chuppah is v'acharkach lokeach hachasna ksuba v'nosla b'yad hakala, that they then take the chasan takes the ksuba, gives it to the kala, and he writes v'shamati sha'aminaku mipnei rov sveikos hanoldos b'kiddushin shim lo yo'ilu ha'kiddushin harishonim yo'ilu elu shi'u b'shtar shakachos b'havililintu kedash Moshe v'Yisrael. In the ksuba, it does say havililin to kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. It doesn't say b'shtar zu, but it says those words havililin to kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. And maybe the reason that the practice developed that you do a whole maisa of mesiras haksuba instead of the kala just taking the ksuba from whoever's reading the ksuba. When you do kriyas haksuba under the chuppah, what do? You roll it up if it's a ksuba that could be rolled up, or you sometimes it's gigantic, it's bigger than you. You give it to the chassan, and the chassan then gives it to the kala. Why doesn't the fellow who read the ksuba just give it straight to the kala? Because there's this inyan of mesiras haksuba. So why? So says the Orchos Chaim, because we want to cover our bases in case there was a problem with the kiddushin that it should be Kiddushei Shtar. In fact, Rav Sternbach writes in Chuvas V'Hanogos Chelek Bei Simin Tafresh Nun that that's why the Brisker Rav had a practice that he was makbid that the Edim stay there for Mesiras HaKsuba. The Mesiras HaKsuba have to be done in front of Edim to serve as a backup Kiddushin. My Rebbeim, I think, are not so makbid about this, about having Edim witness the Mesiras HaKsuba. I remember a few weddings I was at where Moriv Rabbi Rav Willig Shlita was a Mesari Kiddushin and I was an aid Kiddushin, and after the Kiddushin, I would say when they call up the person to read the Ksuba, I would ask Rabbi Willig, do you want us to stay? Because that's the proper etiquette to ask, do you want us to stay to witness the Mesiras Ksuba? And he said, not at all interested. He didn't think that was at all necessary. So the Brisker Rav apparently was makbid about that as a backup Kiddushin. Rav Asher Weiss points out that the truth is that that's a huge chiddush. He says, Lo shamanu me'olam, sheyinagu gedola Yisrael b'sidrum chubav Kiddushin lomar l'chasson sheyiskavin b'nesin esaksuba liyad hakal l'shev Kiddush Hashtar. Did you ever hear a Messiah Kiddushin tell l'chasson, have kavana to do a Maisa Kiddushin when you give the Ksuba? Never. They're never telling him that this is, he doesn't think it's a Maisa Kiddushin, he's just giving her the Ksuba. He's not thinking about Maisa Kiddushin. And in fact, Rav Sturmbach in the later Tshuva, in Tshuva Svan August Chel Talitz in Reish Pei Zayin, he goes through how Seder Kiddushin should work and all the little hakpados that you could have along the way for Seder Kiddushin. And over there in Os Tez Zayin, he quotes that this is what the Brisker Rav did, but he says it's really Tamua that anyone would think that would count as a Kiddush Eshtar, because L'chora it's really not a Kiddush Eshtar. Okay, so the practice is that we do a Mesiras HaKsuba, and then once the Kala has the Ksuba, she doesn't have to like hang on to it, she doesn't have to hold on to it, she can give it to whoever she wants. We're trying to suggest that this is a Maisa Kiddushin. Typically under the Chuppah, I'll always tell the Kala that it would be awkward for her to hold the Ksuba the whole rest of the Chuppah, so I'll always tell the Kala you should give the ksuba to someone that you trust, and I'll always remind her that her mother looks somewhat trustworthy, and then she'll give it to her mother, and the mother will figure out what to do from there. She'll know who's going to bring it to them. I remember I was once Masada Kiddushin for someone for a chassan whose father was an executive vice president for the Florida Marlins at the time. So at the wedding was the general manager of the Florida Marlins, the owner of the team. And the owner, I believe, is a Jew, but non-observant Jew. So he said, what kind of kibud can I give the owner of the Florida Marlins? He's not going to read a bracha. He's not going to, what kind of kibud can I give him? So we made one up. We gave the kibud of guarding the ksuba. That after the reading of the ksuba, the chassan gave it to the kala, and the kala entrusted, I think Jeff Luria is his name, Jeff Luria with the guarding of the ksuba. So they called him up under the chuppah, now honored with guarding the ksuba. And I told him, look, they can't go home tonight without this. This is a very important document. He took it very seriously. It did not look like he was going to allow anyone to take that ksuba. I got the idea because Rav Shechter told us that he was at a wedding many, many years ago where the governor of the state of New York, who at that time was also Governor Cuomo, the father, and Governor Mario Cuomo, and they gave him that honor of guarding the ksuba. So it always stuck in my mind that in a pinch you can come up with that kibud. But anyway, so that the Mesiras HaKsuba you do. But I remember one of the first 10 times I was Masada Kiddushin. So after the I was pretty young, and after the reading of the ksuba. So the fellow who read the ksuba was a much older Rav. I think he was upset that he was not Masada Kiddushin. I think he had a relationship with the family, and he thought that he should have been Masada Kiddushin. So I was about to give the ksuba to the chassan to give to the kala, and he says, "You didn't roll it up?" I said, "Oh, okay, it's a big deal." And he takes it back and he rolls it up and he says, "Rookie, inexperienced." Okay, I still don't know why you have to roll it up. I don't think so. Okay, but no. So that's as far as giving over the ksuba. Now the third sad lahakel over here. Remember, we said that there are three ways that kiddushin can take effect. Kiddushin can take effect with kesef. So that was the first sad lahakel. Maybe there actually was a kinyan with shtar. So that was the second sad lahakel. Maybe the mysterious ksuba is kiddush shtar. And then there's a potential of kiddush bia. Then maybe there's kiddush bia. How can we assume kiddush bia? So this is the famous machlokas Rav Henkin and Rav Moshe about civil marriages and reform marriages, right? Where Rav Moshe held that if a couple didn't have a proper halachic ceremony, then they are not married, bechlal. And therefore, if they get divorced without the benefit of a get, and the woman gets remarried and has children, the children are not mamzerim. With that one psak, Rav Moshe saved thousands of mamzerim. And Rav Henkin thought that that was absolutely incorrect. Rav Henkin in Perushei Ibra, in Prakim Gimel through Hay, says that if a couple intended to be married, then every act of intimacy that they do is an act of Kiddushin. Meaning any time they have an act of intimacy, it's an act of Kiddushin. And he says that a couple doesn't have to have kavana to get married through that act in order for the Kiddushin to be chal. Kiddushin is created when a couple has bia and intends to have this permanent monogamous relationship with, you know, and then they're having an intimate relationship. And, you know, Rav Meisha had a rivash, you know, without getting into the details. Most poskim seem to reject Rav Henkin, though. Rav Meshulam Roth in Shuvas Kol Mevasser, Simon Chav Beis, says that, that pretty much all of the great poskim of the previous generation agree that a couple that only had a civil ceremony does not need a get. And in fact, in Shuvas Dvar Avram, in Gimel Os Chavtes, he argues against many of the arguments that Rav Henkin makes, and he says also he goes through all the marmakamos, the rivash, the chumas adash, and whatever that seem to contradict Rav Henkin. And furthermore, he says, if they never intended to be married according to the Dinei HaTorah, then for sure they're not going to be married. So what the Machlokas really revolves around is what creates Kiddushin. Is it having intention for a permanent monogamous relationship, or is it for marriage according to Jewish law, that I want to do a Maisa Kiddushin according to Jewish law? So that's l'chora what's behind it. So Rav Asher said, at least we could use Rav Henkin as a possibility that they're married through Kiddushei Bia, because Henenei Deyichod, Henenei Debia, we know that they're living together, and everyone knows, the whole world knows that they're living together, that they went home together that night, and they've been acting for 2 weeks already as husband and wife, so maybe that serves as a Kiddushin. There was a fascinating back and forth between Rav Henkin and Rav Meisha about this. In Hapardes, in Nisan Tavshin Chav Gimel, Rav Henkin wrote that, L'tza'ari muchrach anochi lios bal macho'a al hora'aso benido nisuei archos for reforming. He says, I hate to be this guy, but I have to make a macho'a against what Rav Moshe paskind. She'leda'ati hu alula asos shamus b'yichus Yisrael levad isr mamzerus. He said, Eishas Ish. He says, I think this is going to ruin all of the yichus of Klal Yisrael aside from all the mamzerim and Eishas Ish. V'lu av apasuk bal peh hecharashti. He said, if only Rav Moshe would have paskin this bal peh without putting pen to paper, I would have kept quiet. Kima kolchi, because what am I going to do? I can't police every rabbi that gives a psak bal peh. Aval mikivin shadavar ba b'sefer umakolo yagidlo vat visvakech sham im masha kasafti b'sefer perusha ibra hineni mechuyav limchos shelo yamru midashas agodilei. But since Rav Meisha directly addresses my tainas and he argues on me in a written tshuva, everyone's going to think that I agreed, and I can't have anybody think they agreed, and therefore I have to make it very well known. And then he writes as he goes on, that he wrote a personal macha'a to Rav Meisha, and he says, "V'yishavti sheyischashiv in divarai, v'kivan sha'avru idun v'idanim, v'lo re'isi v'lo shemati shum gilo idas me'anal." He says, "I've been waiting for Moshe to retract. He hasn't. So hineni mefarsim b'zeh divarai." Rav Henkin, with absolute respect to Rav Moshe, says, it kills me to have to do this to Rav Moshe, and I know this is going to cause a magmas nefesh, and I don't want Rav Moshe to have magmas nefesh, but he's wrong, and therefore I have to say something. Rav Moshe went so far as to say that a reform marriage is not, that even a reform marriage is not kiddushin, because there's no anan sahadi that the giving of the ring was kiddushin, because even if you have to see the ring being given, you have to have an umdana demuchach that there was a maisa kiddushin that actually happened. With a reform marriage, you have no idea what the rabbi is actually doing up there and what the rabbi is insisting on. So he didn't even think you have that. So he had back and forth between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin, but that's a third sniff lahakel. Now in Rav Asher's particular case, he had a major sniff lahakel, and that is that all they needed to do was do a new maisa kiddushin on Shabbos. So the rabbis in Lakewood, or whichever rabbi it was, said, no, you can't do it on Shabbos. So Rav Asher just points out, the whole tshuva that he wrote is really just academic, because as far as doing a new Maisa Kiddushin on Shabbos, really no big deal. The Ramban, or Chaim, Sim Shal Namates, Siv Dalid, writes that Afal Gav Delo Kaim El Anachi, even though we generally don't paskin to do Kiddushin on Shabbos, Somchen Al Zeh B'Shas Chad Chak. that we rely on it, b'shas chachak, that you could do kiddush on Shabbos. Ki gadol kavod abrios, because kavod abrios is important. And whatever case the Rama was talking about, the kavod abrios of this case is multiplied manyfold from the case that that the Rama was talking about. That the couple is going to have to cancel Shabbos Shavu Brachos and pretend that they're not married. That would be crazy. So what should they do? So clearly, give the rings back to the rightful owners with absolute kinyan, everything's going to be done properly, and do a new Maisa Kiddushin. Should they say a bracha? Probably not. Meaning, probably Rav Asher has enough snifim lahakal over here not to say a bracha, but I could see someone saying that they should say a bracha, right? I wouldn't be surprised, because each snif lahakal is kind of shvach, but since there are three of them, you know, I could see someone saying to say a bracha as well. What about the ksuba? So, do they have to write a new ksuba? Because the ksuba is now 2 weeks predated, right? They're only getting married now when they thought they were getting married 2 weeks ago. So this happens a lot where we predate a ksuba. There's different practices. What do you do? I was just at a wedding this week where the wedding was called for 5:30. So what do you do? At the chassan's tish, they're signing things, right? They're signing a ksuba. Shkia was at 6:15, let's say. Right? So the chuppah is not going to be till after, well after Shkia. So do you sign the ksuba between 5:30 and 6:15 on the earlier date or the later date? So different practices about what to do. Are we worried about a shtar muktam? So Rav Asher writes, l'gabi ksuba, he says, l'chora, one would think you should write a new ksuba because it's a chshash of muktam. But he says, be'emes nira, since they did a Kabbalah's kinyan, it's not muktam. Meaning, the chassan was mechayiv himself starting at that time. So Mela, that's okay. Meaning he's not only mechayev himself from the time they get married. He was mechayev himself from the time that he made that kinyan. So he didn't think it was a problem. At the wedding I was at this week, Rav Rosenzweig Shlita was Mesader Kiddushin, and he waited till after Shkia to have me sign the ksuba. So I think he dated it the later date, and he figured that we could at least sign it after Shkia, even though it was still Ben HaShemashos, and the chuppah happened after Tzeis HaKochavim. Okay, so anyway, so this couple of Lechora, they should do a new Maisa Kiddushin. That is our answer to our Shaila for this week. Everyone should have a pleasant evening and a wonderful Shabbos.